World Morning. It's 15th April. Our New Testament reading today is John 7. Once again, I'm reading from Brother Melva Purkis. I read, "The summer was almost over, and the great Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. It was a popular and joyous feast, celebrating the time when God brought out the Israelites from Egypt and caused them to sojourn in the wilderness, before bringing them into the Promised Land. Combined with this celebration was what would be known today as a harvest festival, where thanksgiving was rendered after the fruits of the land had been safely gathered in. A happy atmosphere prevailed throughout the 7 days of the feast, particularly among the younger Jews. All who were physically able to do so left the comparative comfort of their homes and constructed temporary booths where they lived in carefree hardship until the feast was ended. To the observer looking down over the hundreds of hastily erected tents on the Mount of Olives, Jerusalem must have presented a strange and stirring sight. Each building would have its own covering of thickly leaved branches, whilst in every available space, clusters of tents would make their mushroom growth. It was a period, too, of intense ceremonial activity. More sacrifices were offered than at any other feast. There were daily processions round the altar, solemn marches to the Pool of Siloam, the singing of the Hallel, the reading of the Law, the lighting of the four great candelabra in the Court of the Women. The whole picture was one of joy and thanksgiving." Jesus had not been to Jerusalem for many months, but now the city was to impel him towards his crowning work. His ministry in Galilee was virtually over. Although the majority of the common people there were still loyal, and would remain so to the end, their grateful and welcoming voices were now mingled with shouts of opposition and blasphemy. During the past weeks he had left the multitudes and sought the peace of remote places to find seclusion with his little band of disciples. As the Feast of Tabernacles drew near, and companies of Galileans from the towns and villages began to make their arrangements to travel together to Jerusalem, Christ's brothers approached him and suggested that it would be advisable for him to travel with them to Jerusalem. They gave the appearance of being puzzled rather than hostile. That Jesus was accomplishing remarkable things in Galilee, they had no doubt, but they were sceptical of his claims and anxious to put them to the more conclusive test of the temple rulers. In view of what they could only believe to be weakness in his attitude to the local scribes and Pharisees, it would not be long before he was forced to confirm that weakness or reveal his strength in the more important setting of Jerusalem. But Jesus had no desire to accompany his brothers. There are many things he must tell his disciples which cannot be shared by sceptics, whatever the blood relationship might be. The world and the church cannot accomplish a journey to Jerusalem together. "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil." So it was that his brothers went away without him, and Jesus, after abiding in Galilee for a little while longer, eventually set off with his disciples, as it were, in secret. Meanwhile, in Jerusalem, his absence caused more disturbance than his presence. The Jewish rulers searched for him. They were now determined upon arrest. Unable to find him, they asked each other, "Where is he?" There was equal speculation, with less decision, among the people. Many said, "He is a good man." Others, "Nay, but he deceiveth the people." Much subdued murmuring prevailed. Only true knowledge of his identity and serene confidence in him can save any man. Thank you for listening.